today's forecast, there will be a dry sense of humour with scattered sarcasm, spells of profanity, patches of exhaustion, and a 100% chance of saying what the f*** is wrong with people.
Welcome to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on the Odyssey app. It is 309, 44 degrees, and raining outside. Well, a mix of rain. There was some sun peeking out, but it was miserable. It was one of those dreary spring days here, and early spring days here in Northeast Pennsylvania. How is everyone doing today on this Thursday, April 10th, 2025? Another up and down day right now, down in the stock market. But listen, I told you yesterday, if you were queasy about the stock market, if you didn't like the way things were being handled with the administration, yesterday was your day to speak to your financial advisor. And I'm not giving you financial advice, but it was your day to speak to the your financial advisor and possibly bow out if it's too volatile for you. And if you took my advice, then you would have gained all your losses and then some yesterday. And you wouldn't be dealing with today. But if you did what I did yesterday and bought when it was low and it went up and now it's back down, but it'll be back up again. You'll be just fine. There is some good news as far as the inflation goes and such like that. So we're headed in the right direction. And again, heading in the right direction sometimes is not easy, but it takes fortitude. And that's what's going on now. We got a lot to talk about today. Lots of things happening. I'm seeing now, it's interesting because I was actually reading the letter. And the Scranton Times-Tribune just put out a Facebook post, and it's their headline now. And it just came out about 14 minutes ago now. It says, Republican U.S. Representative Rob Bresnahan contradicted the Trump administration's contention that a certain federal emergency management agency funding program is wasteful and advocated for restoration of the $2.5 million for flood buyouts in Scranton. It's interesting how they're headlines is now the headline itself was Bresnahan, quote, FEMA should restore program funding 21 flood buyouts in Scranton. But the way they form the narrative on their social media post is Rob Bresnahan contradicted the Trump administration's contention because they're trying. Listen, if they're not attacking Congressman Rob Bresnahan, they're trying to put him at odds with the administration and his own party. So it's a no-win situation for him. But reading the letter, he's not contradicting the Trump administration. He's advocating for his constituents in Northeast Pennsylvania. That was his job. That's what he was elected to do. That's not a contradiction. He's saying, listen, this is what I believe this program is. Here's some attention from my end of this, my perspective from being on the ground in Northeast Pennsylvania. That's what a good representative does. Not ignore what the people of Northeast Pennsylvania says, but move forward. And for the text messages who want to believe rumors and rhetoric rather, and this has nothing to do with Rob Bresnahan, it has to do with the stock market and saying that the president made $415 million in one day after pumping his own stock with social media and policy decisions. That's not the way it worked. You're extremely misinformed, so maybe go back and become more informed in that. But listen, I applaud Congressman Rob Bresnahan for looking into the matter and saying, no, I think this is a worthwhile cause. I think my constituents here, the people who are affected by this, will benefit from this money. It's not a waste. And when this money's reevaluated, since this program was canceled to be reevaluated, I think that this is a worthwhile project. And that's what your representative's supposed to do for you. And a shame on local media that wants to either attack or put people at odds to leverage for politics. So obviously they don't care about these 18 homes and three parcels. Obviously, local media does not care about that. That's not their primary concern. Their primary concern is politics, partisan politics, and they want to manipulate that to try and form that narrative to make it whatever it is. So shame on the people that do that. Shame on the people that do that. And listen, if you voted for Congressman Rob Bresnahan, or you did not, do you disagree with him saying, no, I think this is a worthwhile project and moving forward? Or now, you know, he's okay because he's advocating for something that you want. But if you read his letter, he does not contradict the Trump administration. He just says that this project itself, not the entire BRICS program, but this project is not a hand out, it's a hand up, and it's been in the works. And this was a program that was started under the Trump administration in 2021, in 2018, I'm sorry. It's interesting because Mayor Paige Cognetti was on the station this morning and conveniently leaves out that the Biden administration under the BRIC program denied Scranton for half of these homes in their 2021 petition for this BRIC funding. But now that it's the Trump administration doing away with this project and it's a larger, instead of just 8 homes in 2021, now it's 21, 18 homes and 3 parcels. You know, it's Trump bad. But she leaves out the fact that in 2021, the city of Scranton was denied BRIC funding for half of this very project itself. And then we had the 2023 storm, which not only made things worse, it hit some of these homes again. And they resubmitted these programs. And because of the changes that the Biden administration put onto the BRIC program that included equity, it was taking longer than it should have. So that program has now been done away with because of those changes that were made. Now, would it have been an option to look at it and move it back to the way it was originally founded in 2018? Possibly. But with the revamping of government programs across the board, especially when it comes to FEMA, this fits into a bigger program. And I think it's great that our congressman has sent a letter saying that this funding, if not under this program, but this funding is a worthwhile cause. So if this money is being revamped, if it's being reconsidered under FEMA priorities, I still think it's a worthwhile cause. And that's what our representative is supposed to be doing, advocating for these people, advocating for his constituents. And that's exactly what he did here. He's not a contradiction with the administration. He's working with the administration to bring attention to a project that he feels is worthwhile after looking into it. So the partisanship nonsense to try and pit people against each other or attack people for partisan politics is just garbage that we need to deal with here. So, you know, that's all that just came out a little while ago. And it was funny because I was reading his letter to FEMA and the administration just a few hours ago. And now there's the story on it, of course, with their own little taint on it to try and create conflict with the administration, which, and listen, if your goal is, as the paper of record for the city of Scranton, to help your readers, to help your constituents, to help your neighbors and the people who live here, pitting the administration against a congressman that's trying to get that help is probably not the best tactic. But hey, you do you. So we are well aware about this pause, this 90-day pause, and I believe they already had a meeting today with representatives from Vietnam because they were first up in the queue, as the Secretary of Treasury stated. But countries are coming to the table. This will take some time, but there is that 90-day pause now. Not for China. China's up to, I think, 140-something percent tariff tax, and they're holding firm, but they're also doing something else. China has amped up its factories and is threatening to crush U.S. industries with a new tsunami of cheap products. They are infusing $1.9 trillion tsunami, and they say it's headed towards the American industry. Basically, they're going to flood supply. And what this is going to do, because every company in China is the state of China's partner. They are backed by the state. They have a stake in it. It's by their law, by their doctrine. There are no private companies in China. The government has a stake in every company and corporation in China. Well, the companies in America, companies that even manufacture things overseas but are American companies, don't have that. They are private companies. Some of them are public companies, the stock market, like we're seeing now. But the communist country of 1.3 billion people has shifted as much cash into amping up its factories in just the past few years, in an effort to overwhelm manufacturers around the world with an influx of cheap goods. Basically, they're flooding the market to artificially decrease prices from competitors to put them out of business. Because again, China is government-backed. companies are government backed. If they make TVs, you know, the government backs that. If they make vehicles, it's government's backed that. If they make electronics, the government backs that. President Trump's original 125% tariff on Chinese goods and imports to the U.S., which was announced yesterday as it paused steep duties on most other countries, is actually just the latest protective measure against China. The European Union, Brazil, Mexico, and Thailand have either imposed new tariffs in the last few months or are considering such measures to protect their own industries from Chinese imports. So yes, the European Union, Brazil, Mexico, Thailand have either imposed new tariffs in the last few months or are considering such measures to protect their own industries from China imports. Because again, China is infusing $1.9 trillion in cheap goods to put other companies' businesses, other countries' businesses out of business. They are going to increase supply so the cost goes so far down that there is too much of it where you can basically can't give it away. So this is coming for everyone, said a trade representative for former President Joe Biden. As in an interview given to the New York Times, Catherine Tai. Over the past 4 years, China has pulled money from housing construction and put it into building factories, with state-controlled banks granting industrial borrowers almost $2 trillion in extra funding, according to new data from China's central bank, obtained by the New York Times. China is building new factories nonstop and outfitting old ones with the latest tech, churning out products from cars to phones to fertilizer, at an unprecedented rate, and all bound for foreign shores. The New York Times reported that China is set to overtake Germany in the world's largest car factory. Chinese car maker BYD is building not one, but two plants that are bigger than the current record holder in Wolfsburg, Germany. Overall, Chinese exports rose a whopping 13% in 2023 and 17% in 2024. Exports make up about 20% of the country's GDP. Meanwhile, American exports, which were higher than ever 10 years ago, are slumping. Exports only amount for 11% of the U.S. GDP, down from 13.6% in 2012. U.S. exports to China, in particular, fell almost 3% last year to a total of $144 billion, according to the U.S. Trade Representative Office. Trade deficit also widened, hitting $295 billion. So it's not just the U.S. and China. Other nations around the world that are also in negotiations with us are setting up their own barriers for China. China, in the industrial view, is a hostile nation. They're doing this purposely to put private companies that work and produce in other countries out of business. And they need to protect themselves. We need to protect ourselves. So this is a much wider scale than they try and make it seem. You know, Trump's trying to pick a fight with China for no apparent reason. No, there's a very good reason this is happening. This administration just has the fortitude to actually follow it through. We've been talking about this for administrations, from Obama. There was some of it done during Trump. Biden gave up the farm when it came to it, and that's why we're where we're at now. Ever since Bill Clinton, reintroducing China as our new manufacturing partner, that would be wonderful for the U.S. economy. And listen, there are benefits to cheap electronics. There are benefits to cheap goods. We've come accustomed to that. And we need to wean ourselves off that addiction as well. Just like we talk about our kids and ourselves with our electronics and our cell phones, well, we need to do that with Timu and the rest of these, Amazon and Walmart and Costco and the rest of them as well. And that's going to take a part on us as well. So there's a much bigger picture here if you care to dive into it. The information's out there. It's 3:22 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Texter brought up a really good point. We also need to bring back the pharmaceutical manufacturers to the United States. China makes a good portion of our medications. We need to take that back. That's 100%. Listen, anything to do with our national security and a medication supply is exactly that. And we learned this during COVID, but we didn't correct mistakes. Hopefully now we do. And this comes for a lot of things. And if you look at the nefarious things that China has done as far as their espionage to steal the designs for our F-35, our F-22s, some of our missile defense systems, this has all been done by hacking. This has all been done by, you know, getting blueprints that have made its way to the dark web, do the hacking and infiltration. You know, those are acts of espionage. And we cannot forget about that. And that doesn't even get into the copyright infringement that China really does not recognize whatsoever. It doesn't matter. It could be designed. It could be created. It could be patented. It could be copywritten here. China does not care. They are making it there, and they're going to mass produce it there. And it makes its way here. So we need to truly correct this. But it's interesting, like the other countries I mentioned, that they are putting these road guards in place as well. But no one's really pointing that out. It's this administration is causing all this. No, they're correcting a wrong that has been wrong for so long. And make no mistake, and I've said this time and I'm going to continue to say it, China needs our economy. They need it. They cannot survive without the U.S. economy, without the U.S. consumer. We've simply become accustomed to Chinese goods. So there's a big difference there. So yes, could they cause a paper cut on our hand? Sure they could. But we could literally rip their arms off, to put it in like layman's terms. So listen, if you want to text in what road guards are other countries putting up, I just told you. Mexico, Brazil, the EU, they are protecting themselves by putting higher tariffs on China as well. Those are road guards. That's what they're doing, just like we're doing. But we're taking a more aggressive stance because we are the big player on the field. China depends on our consumer, our economy. So yes, we have the biggest stick in this matter. And they could push back. Yes, they can. Because we've become lazy and accustomed to their so-called luxuries that truly aren't. They're disposable products at the best. So that's what we have there. So yesterday we had Lackawanna County Commissioner Chris Chermak call in, and we spoke a lot about the budget and extra debt that the county's taking out to help our roads and bridges, and hopefully they get a capital reserve program that doesn't need to take current debt out time and time again for millions of dollars for the next decade. But the big takeaway that I found from that is only their plan is a good plan. It'll have our debt service down by half in 10 years, by 2036. Only if we don't take out any debt between now and then, a decade, which I don't see happening, and I know you don't see that happening. And they maintain our current assets, be it our vehicles, be it our buildings, be it nothing major goes wrong with any of our capital infrastructure, which again, given the status of some of our buildings and some of our vehicles and other things, it's probably a stretch to believe that. So it's a lot of kicking the can down the road with a hope and a prayer. That's the best way I can describe it. Now, it's in the best direction, given the situation we're in. They still haven't. They want to talk about transparency, and they want to continue to blame past administrations, but they're still not answering the questions. You know, how were $19 million in bills not paid? How come there were not red flags? How come there were not redundant checks from our business offices, from our department directors, from the commissioners themselves? Well, not the outgoing ones, because they wanted to screw the county as much as they could. We knew this. They dumped $19 million in unpaid bills on their buddies. And this current majority, well, the one left, refuses to really call them out by name and refuses to be fully transparent on how $19 million specifically went unpaid. Now, we just got, for Lackawanna County, the 2023 audit. I think the 2024 audit is going to be something else, because that should it has to bring to light at least a little bit of the nonsense of what's going on. But if you look at Tyler Technologies, the company that's been contracted to do this reassessment, moving to the reassessment, and the county itself, there have been less than forthcoming with information when compared to Tyler Technologies themselves, the same company, and other counties that they've worked for, have been much more transparent than Lackawanna County has with Tyler Technology. Now, if that's Lackawanna County instructing Tyler Technology not to have the same level of transparency, that has yet to be known or seen. I would find it hard stretched to think that Tyler Technology would provide a database with all comparable homes. They have to indeed. They've sent out every letter of value for homes right now. So yes, there will be some changes to the millage. There will be some changes to what your estimated taxes will be with the appeal process, be it informal and formal. But they can no doubt, and they cannot say any different, they can no doubt send out an estimated, subject to change, tax rate and tax based on your value right now. They could do this tomorrow. They have the data. They have all our information. They sent out letters to everybody. They could say, here's where it stands now. It can move either up or down based on appeals, be it informal and formal appeals. They're not doing that. They're not doing that for a reason. Is it because they don't want people to actually see that number and start to panic or get pissed off? Will it cause more people to formally appeal? Yes, I 100% believe it will. Because once people see an actual number of what their tax may be, they don't know where they stand. So no, Billy Gaughan, you're not being as transparent as you can, and we don't believe you, because this information is there now and it can be sent out. Is it subject to change? Absolutely. But I think 90% of Lackawanna County homeowners would want that number as an estimate now, knowing it's an estimate that could go up and down, rather than nothing at all until they actually get a tax bill in January or February of next year. And this is the very same reason. Listen, I had a friend over here. He was in the studio with me yesterday. He's originally from California, now lives in upstate New York. California passed a Proposition 13 that mandated all state property tax, all homes in California. Your tax rate, your property tax rate could be only 1% of the cost, the sale of your home, the cost of your home when you bought it. Your tax rate is 1% of that number, and it never changes. Tax rate could never go up. Why? Because people on fixed incomes and senior citizens on Social Security were losing their homes in California. And they put that law in place as a safeguard for them. Well, there's no safeguard here for us in Lackawanna County. And people that I just described will not be able to afford their property tax. California, one of the most progressive liberal states in the nation, put a safeguard in for their residents in a majority Democrat-run state because people were losing their homes because the tax, real estate tax, the property tax system was being abused. So they created a law statewide, Proposition 13, you could look it up, to where your property tax was locked in at what the cost you bought your home for, 1% of the cost you bought your home. So if you bought your home for $300,000, it was 1% of that. That was your tax rate. It never goes up. If you own your house for 50 years, that's your tax rate. The other thing is they keep bragging that there has been no reassessment for 50 years. That's not true. There's a reassessment anytime a house is sold. The current market value of what you paid for your house is your new tax rate. It happens all the time. So stop saying that we're so out of whack because this hasn't been adjusted. And no, the tax rate is adjusted on personal property anytime it's sold. So I think we're in for a rude awakening here in Lackawanna County. And it's going to come quite fast, and it's going to come too late for a lot of our people on fixed income and our seniors. It's 3:35 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:41, 44 degrees, and we were talking about that rain and miserable weather out there. Well, it appears the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rare Riders game tonight has been postponed. Today, April 10th, versus Rochester. It'll be rescheduled for a later date. So I'm not sure when that game was supposed to start. But I'm seeing now that the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders game tonight has been postponed against Rochester. So if you were looking forward to that game, sorry about that. Looks like you Going to need alternate plans. So, IRS computer engineers said it would take 103 days to move the website's login button. You know, when you go to the IRS's website, there's a login button. It's located somewhere on the screen. Sometimes it's on the upper right-hand corner, upper left-hand corner, down on the bottom. Well, IRS engineers said that it would take 103 days to move and redesign that page so it moved the button. It took Doge engineers 71 minutes to do that. Took Doge 71 minutes to do that. So do you think a lot of this hysteria coming from, you know, unnamed officials or people within the department are more about job security because they're incompetent and not so much about, well, this is data that we cannot provide to these people. We can't let them have access to this. No, there's just more competent people that are more recent, younger, probably better, and they're afraid of that. We've seen that. Listen, anywhere you work, there's that fear there. You know, the new guy or girl that's better educated, better, people get scared. I know I've dealt with that in my career when I've gone to places. There are people who feel threatened by competent people. Happens all the time. Listen, I'm competent in Excel. Competent. Barely, but I'm competent. You know, I can get through it. It's going to take me a lot longer. You know, I might not have all the bells and whistles that someone better at had, where my kids are a lot better at Excel. They can do it probably in a fifth of the time that I could set up something on Excel with graphs and everything that I need and the computations that are in there that automatically do things. You know, I'm okay at it. I'm better than a lot of people who really have not grown up using Excel or Word or such like that. You know, I've kind of taught myself. I've had no official training. But, you know, my kids who are all college educated used Excel quite often. You know, I have a quantitative economics major in my family. You know, is pretty well versed in Excel. Can do it to where it looks like a professional, you know, piece of work, where mine, you know, it's good enough, but it's not that level. That seems like what you're getting here now. You know, are these people who worked for the IRS for years competent and they can get by because the systems are antiquated and they're used to doing things the old way? You know, we're told that all the time. But now you get these whiz kids in their 20-somethings and 30-somethings that basically have been building computers since they were 12. I mean, my nephew's 13, and he knows his way around computers better than I do. But they said it would take 103 days to do what they wanted to do with the website for the IRS. It took a Doge engineer 71 minutes. That tells you everything you need to know there. And I think it's more about job security and feeling threatened than the actual things they're raising up. So we'll see there. You know, we talked about Lackawanna County a lot with their financial issues. Luzerne County has proposed a $113,000 contract for a strategic plan, a five-year financial plan. This type of long-term plan hasn't been done in a decade, county officials said during a county council work session on Tuesday. The last five-year financial plan posted on the county's website was completed in 2015 by Public Financial Management in a 253-page document. The county received a grant from the State Department of Community and Economic Development to cover 50% of the $113,000 cost. Now, listen, anytime you hear the word grant, just realize that's your tax dollars too. Now, it's a state grant coming from the State Department of Community and Economic Development, but you pay state taxes, I pay state taxes. It's tax dollars. So if it's coming from the city of Wilkes-Barre, the county of Luzerne County, or this Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's still your and my tax dollars. We have to keep instilling that. And I would encourage you to correct any official that wants to talk about grant like it's free money to just be cognizant and aware and admit that it's taxpayer dollars. This is a good idea. I'm not against them doing this. It'll be done in conjunction with their own financial people, but it's good to have outside eyes look at things. And have a strategic plan. Have a capital reserve program that goes out 30, 40 years. This way you're not borrowing $25 million to fix roads and bridges because over the past 40 years you've saved the money to fix the roads and bridges. That takes fortitude. That takes raising taxes between 1 and 3% annually. I know that people don't like to hear that, but I'm sorry. That's just the way life works. Things cost more. People get raises. That's how the economy grows. And we need to keep up with that. Anyone who tells you that they're going to hold a tax rate for 5 or 10 years at zero, they're lying to you. They're kicking the can down the road, and they're screwing you later on or your kids. It's time we come accustomed to that. It's 3:47 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:54, 44 degrees on this Thursday, April 10th, 2025. We have some breaking news coming out of New York right now. It looks like a commuter helicopter has crashed into the Hudson River. Officials, I'm looking at video now. Officials are on the scene. You have fire and police boats from both New Jersey and New York. Now, this is in the vicinity of Holland Tunnel, closer to the New Jersey side of the Hudson River, right off of Lower Manhattan, just north of the World Trade Center. It appeared to be a small commuter helicopter. It is upside down in the water. You could see the floats on the tracks that would be the bottom of the landing gear of the helicopter floating, and you cannot see the rest of the helicopter. But there are divers on the scene. I'm looking at both New Jersey Fire Department and NYPD Harbor Unit divers already in the water. There are no discussion on how many passengers were on board this helicopter. I believe it seats 5 or 6 from the view that I'm seeing of the type of helicopter it was. It appears to be a 2004 Bell 206 owned by Meridian Helicopters, because they do have the track of the helicopter and it disappearing into the Hudson River, losing altitude. Again, there are multiple. I'm looking at least a half dozen emergency boats on the scene. Plus, there's a pier right there from the Holland Tunnel, where one of the vent tubes for the Holland Tunnel before it goes under the water is there, a pier that's right off of New Jersey. But it appears that there is a small commuter helicopter. Again, it looks like a four-door, typical commuter helicopter that you would see commonly in the New York area. And the Hudson River is the designated zone for helicopters to transverse the Manhattan. They're no longer allowed to fly over the island. They fly down and up and down the rivers. So that's the breaking news now. It appears there is video from a bystander that shows it right after it hit the water. You do not see anybody swimming or floating around the wreckage of the helicopter. And it's not a wreckage. It's in one piece. It's just upside down. But you do have multiple, and I'm talking over half a dozen emergency vessels on the scene. I'm seeing two NYPD large harbor boats. I'm seeing two fire boats. I'm seeing a New Jersey boat. And again, they do have divers in the water, because I see their rubber inflatable with diver tender on it already. So that means they have divers in the water. I've done this. And they are very quick at what they do as they're responding to this type of call. They're getting their wetsuits on. They're getting their gear on. As soon as they get to the scene, they are in the water. So hopefully, depending on how many people are on board, they're able to get them all out, and they'll be fine. There's some news reports from non-credible news agencies that are reporting some things, so I'm going to leave that out of it at this time. See if I can find anything credible for you. That's what I have right now. So I'll continue to monitor this, but there is a helicopter down in the Hudson River in just north of the World Trade Center on the New Jersey side near the Holland Tunnel. There are emergency crews on the scene. There are divers in the water. It appears to be a Bell 204 helicopter, and it's right near Hudson River Pier 40. So we have, looks like ABC News New York Now is stating, I can't open that right now, so we'll see what we're at with that. One of the other things that I wanted to, what I actually had before that was sent to me, that alert, is Senator Dave McCormick. Senator Dave McCormick of Pennsylvania, I just got an email from his team, has introduced a term limit resolution. April 10th, Senator Dave McCormick introduced a joint resolution today proposing an amendment to the Constitution to implement term limits in Congress. The resolution would limit senators to 2 6-year terms and House members to 6 2-year terms, limiting either chamber to service of 12 years total. Our founding fathers never imagined that Congress would become an institution filled with career politicians who stay on well past retirement age, and Congress shouldn't be a place where people get to be comfortable in their jobs, Senator McCormick said. We're extremely grateful for those who have served or those who are serving and for those who are willing to serve at this time. We need constant change and new blood for our democracy to work, and in my hope, that resolution can help Washington begin the work again for the American people. Notably, McCormick's resolution would not apply to any person who was in office prior to the 118th Congress, but it would be a reason to replace them. So it's a good start. And those of you who were naysayers against Senator Dave McCormick, well, he looks like he had the guts to institute a resolution for term limits. So I support that 100%. I'm sure a lot of you on both sides of the aisle do as well. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.